In surgery, the shift from reprocessed to single-use endoscopes has accelerated in recent years. What some are calling an approach that can actually revolutionize care. We'll see what is leading to the use of these scopes in our next two episodes of our podcast. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tomas Villanueva, Senior Principal for Performance Improvement Consulting at Vizient and Practicing Internist. Joining me today is Andrew Brunderman. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your background and your current role at Vizient.
Sure, I'd love to. I've been with the Vizient family of companies for a little over 5.5 years. I'm currently a category manager. I started here as an intern and an analyst way back in 2013 and worked here for a few years and then left for a bit, but boomeranged right back. I've worked in a number of different healthcare capacities from cradle to grave, truly. So I used to work in pediatric facilities, and then I transitioned to running skilled nursing facilities and assisted livings in a former life for 5 years, and then came back to the company, the family of companies, due to COVID and just some changes in my life, and I'm very happy to be back. And so in my current category management role, I cover single-use scopes, as we're going to discuss today, interventional urology, which plays a bit in this category, GI biliary and lab accessories, video laryngoscopes, and minimally invasive BPH devices.
Sounds fascinating. In the podcast, we very seldom get to discuss technologies that some say has a potential for actually revolutionizing clinical practice. So let's level set here. Why is it important that we discuss single-use ureteroscopes, whether for clinical or even financial reasons?
So that's a great question. And historically, flexible ureteroscopy, it was the common procedure as far as managing renal stones or ureteral stones. But times have changed. So in 2015, when that first single-use flexible ureteroscope came to market, it was clearly lacking relative to its reusable counterpart in image quality and durability and cost effectiveness. It fell behind the reusable in all facets of that. But since, there's been a lot of innovation, a lot of technology that's come along, and we've seen single-use ureteroscope adoption accelerating based on challenges with the traditional scopes, as well as the device advancements and some favorable market conditions. When it comes to a clinical perspective, reusable endoscopes do come with that risk of cross-contamination, including those higher rates of urinary tract infections, and that's when reprocessed scopes are used. And the pandemic certainly amplified those concerns as far as cross-contamination. A single adverse event from cross-contamination could lead to further complications, which carry their own set of costs and complications. We're seeing shifts in sites of care as well. So urology procedures overall, whether it's stone management or prostate health or other areas, those are shifting from inpatient to outpatient. And so we're seeing these procedures also transitioning from the hospital outpatient to those ambulatory surgery centers. And in some cases, even those physician offices. So in general, urology as a clinical specialty, it adapts really well to either an ASC or a physician office. And so we certainly expect that shift to continue. Our SG2 consultants have provided some forecasts that bear that out. One reason that most of those urology procedures, they're shifting is because they're done with local anesthesia. So you don't require an overnight stay. And since those ambulatory surgery centers or physician offices, they often lack that infrastructure and the required sterile processing departments for traditional endoscopes, it can make those ASCs and hospital outpatients as prime candidates to consider transitioning to single-use ureteroscopes.
So I get it. As a practicing physician, this makes sense versus the reusable, but I can't help but think there are other safety approaches for the single-use compared to that of a reusable one. I'm sure there's other benefits.
So as far as safety approaches, one example that I've heard from some suppliers that we have on contract is, say you're in an oncology radiation procedure. If you break a reusable ureteroscope in the middle of a procedure, chances are you're not going to have an SPD department right there to quickly get you a replacement and continue that procedure.
What's an SPD?
So sterile processing department. And so rather than risking angering that doctor or that patient by having to wait half an hour for the courier to drive to central processing and fetch a new scope, you could, as a safety net, keep a backup single-use ureteroscope on hand, and that also helps keep those cases moving, whereas waiting for another scope would cause delays, possibly necessitate bumping cases, and frustrating patients who maybe move their whole day just to make that originally scheduled appointment.
During the pandemic, we started seeing higher rates of pretty much single-use equipment, even PE and everything else. But do you really think that the single-use scope options may be the wave of the future versus reusable?
Wave of the future, yes. As far as completely replacing them, I'd say probably not. But I wouldn't be shocked if that pendulum continues to swing towards single use being used for the majority of those cases. You're hearing physicians, clinicians that might believe in several years, reusable scopes might be gone completely. But for that to happen, you're going to have a lot of departments that have to come together to make that choice, whether it's SPD or biomed, your bronchoscopy suite, your reuteroscopies, because they're all using that central processing. And so if they're hiring people to do that job anyway, they probably don't want to get rid of it altogether. But if you have a facility with a strong SPD staff and a training program, you also might be more reluctant to starting adopting single-use reuteroscopes in a major way, especially if you're already paying a service contract for those scopes. It just might not make sense for your organization.
You mentioned critical access facilities, so shelf life is important. What's the average shelf life of one of these single-use equipment?
So in the suppliers that we have on contract, the ones I've spoken with, that shelf life is between 18 months to 3 years. And that's important. And during that stretch of time, clinicians know that as long as they have that scope in stock and at the ready, that scope is always sterile. It's always where they need it in a pinch, and because it comes right out the packaging. So not only that, but it can also lead to operational efficiencies, such as reduced turnover time. So that's going to become even more important too in the future, because providers are going to have to make efficiency one of their top priorities, because you're having baby movers increasingly fall under that Medicare age, and that Medicare age demographic employs urological services at three times the clip relative to that general population. So you're going to see a lot more procedures needing to be done. Throughput will be very important.
Andrew, there's the science of medicine and there's the art of medicine. And lots of times the art, which is knowledge and experience, trumps the science. So considering some of the issues that occurred in the earlier generations of some of the single-use scopes, how can we address those concerns? Because just one bad experience to one colleague can result in them not wanting to do that again.
That's a great call out. And in the past, some of these earlier iterations of single-use reuteroscopes, the ergonomics might have not been right, or the active deflection capabilities of those scopes might have not been ideal for maybe difficult anatomy. But there's been a lot of technological advances that really bring single-use scopes now more than ever right there, or even superior to some reusable endoscopes, according to some studies. So you might have active deflection now up to 270 degrees all the way around both ways to really navigate that difficult anatomy, maybe in that lower pole where it might be a difficult stone to reach. And I would sincerely encourage a physician who maybe had a bad experience in the past to at least hold or try to drive one that's just been released in recent years, especially because there's some unique features that some suppliers have come out with as far as monitoring intrarenal pressure, which monitoring that can help fend off any conditions of sepsis or other complications, which have their own sets of costs. If you have concerns about the stability of your SPD department, your sterile processing department, or their training programs, then reprocessing that scope can be upwards of 100 different steps. If you don't have someone you can train up in a hurry, that's very resource intensive. And so you could supplement that with single use scopes.
Change is good, isn't it, Andrew?
I'd say it's absolutely something to consider. It's gotten us here today relative to how things were done without anesthesia in the past. I would hate to have a ureteroscopy without any anesthesia back in the day. So thank God for change.
Andrew, thanks for the insights. And I'm looking forward to finishing our talk in the next episode. And to our listeners, you can contact Andrew at his email address posted in our resource section. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice, or simply want to send us your comments, please contact me at modernpracticepodcast@visiantinc.com. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. And now, I'm Dr. Tomas Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.